Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Really glad you guys are here today. We are in the middle of a series that we are calling Can You Hear It? And basically this series is trying to answer what may be the most common question we get as a church. And this is the question. How do I hear God's voice? I get asked this question all the time. If you grew up in church, you probably get asked this question. If you attend church regularly, you probably ask this question all the time. And so for the last few weeks, we've been just really all unifying around this idea. How do we hear God's voice? Does he speak at all? What does he say? How do we know? And what we've done for the last few weeks is really try to reframe this question, to ask a better question that we think is actually a more clarifying question. And that question is this. Do I recognize God's voice? See, we think this question is better than this one because this question assumes that God is speaking. And God is speaking. God has always been speaking, and God will always be speaking. And so what we want to do is to hopefully convince us all to approach him that way, to approach him believing he's going to speak and doing everything we can to learn to recognize his voice. This is week 4 of this series, so we have covered a tremendous amount of content up to this point. So if today is your first time, if you are a guest today, here's what we have done for you. We have a place where you can go and you can catch up on all of this content. So after today, I would really encourage you, man, use your smartphone, download our app. We have all of our series there, especially a series like this where we've built on each other a lot. We've covered a lot of content up to today. And so after today, if you want to go back and figure out how we kind of got where we were, I think it would be really beneficial to you because one of our goals in the series and one of the assumptions I made coming into this series and one of the beliefs we kind of all share is that the better we understand how something works, the likelier it is we'll use it. That pretty much goes for everything in life. And so we've been trying to discover the mechanics of this relationship with God, the mechanics of how he speaks to us. Because again, I'm convinced the better we understand how it works, the likelier it is that we will use it. And so we've done this for the last couple of weeks. And last week we tackled a topic and an idea that some people may find confusing if you're not familiar with church, but it's perfectly okay. It's a tenet of the Christian faith. And it really kind of helps clarify how God communicates with us. And it's the idea of the Trinity. Now, we actually just sang about the Trinity a moment ago, but for Christians, the Trinity is our way of conceptualizing and understanding who God is and how God operates. And basically, the Trinity, we call the Trinity because we believe that God exists. He's one. There is one God. But we believe that one God exists as three distinct persons. First, we have God the Father. Then we have God the Son. And third, we have God the Holy Spirit. Now, the way we were talking about this for the last couple of weeks, God the Father is who you typically think of when you think of God. God the Son is Jesus. And God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that lives on earth now and that connects with us and coaches us every single day. If you were here last week, we talked about God the Father is the commander. He is the leader. He is in charge. God the Son is the connector. Jesus came to reconnect us to our Heavenly Father, and through his death, his burial, his resurrection, and then his ascension into heaven, he now stands in front of God the Father on our behalf and provides our path to him. He then sent God the Holy Spirit to be our coach, to be our guide through life. And that's where we left it last week. And so today I want to pick up right there. Because if the Holy Spirit is our coach, it's pretty important to understand how he coaches. How does he interact with us? How does he speak? How do we know what's going on? And to answer that question, I want to return to the very place we left off last week. I want to return to the night where Jesus was hanging out with his disciples before he was going to be arrested. He's arrested later this night. By Friday morning, he will be convicted and sentenced to death. By Friday afternoon, he will be dead. By Friday before sundown, he will be buried. On Saturday, he will stay dead. On Sunday, he will come back to life. He will spend about 40 more days with his followers, and then he will ascend to heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Now, the disciples didn't know any of this. They just thought they were having a Passover meal with their teacher, the guy they had seen perform miracles, and he starts telling them, I'm about to leave, and they're terrified. They don't understand it. So if you were here last week, you know he tried to explain, guys, it's okay. I'm leaving, but I'm going to send someone better. They don't get it. They keep pushing back. They keep asking questions. And so today we're going to pick up the second time Jesus tries to come back and explain to them the Holy Spirit. Because the first time it didn't work. Have you ever had that experience? You have to explain something to your children and you walk away and you realize they didn't get it. They didn't get it. And you have to go back and do it again. That's what Jesus has done here. He's tried to explain it to them. They're terrified. So it's like, you know what? Let me do it again. But it's great because when he goes back and explains it again, he begins to answer the question we're trying to answer today. How does the Holy Spirit coach us? How does the Holy Spirit interact with us? What does the Holy Spirit do? So if you have your Bibles, you can open it to John chapter 16. That's where we're going to be. John chapter 16, starting in verse 7. The disciples are still afraid. They don't understand where Jesus is going. And he opens up with this word. He says, hey guys, don't worry. It is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. Now, what Jesus is doing, again, they don't quite understand it, but we do with 2,000 years of context. We know what Jesus was going to do. It's best for him. It's best for them that he goes away because he had a job to do. He had to go pay the price for our sins. He had to then go sit before God for all time so that we had access to God the Father. So he's saying, hey, guys, you don't seem to understand it. There's more going on here than you're aware of. I promise you, it's best if I go away. It's best if I go play my role because that's going to give you access to everything you want. And don't worry, I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm going to send you an advocate. And when I do, that advocate will be better. And we talked about why it was better last week. Because Jesus, even though he was fully God, had chosen to limit himself to humanity. Which meant while he was on the earth, he was bound by human conceptions of space and time. He couldn't be all places at once, which meant for his disciples, if Peter, James, and John, all three needed to talk to him, well, Peter and James had to wait because John was going to go first. And Peter and James were over here fighting about who was going to go next. And Jesus is saying, guys, you don't understand it. It's going to be better because when I play my role, when I go sit before my Heavenly Father, and when I send the Holy Spirit, you don't have to wait anymore. Because my Holy Spirit, he won't be with you. He'll be in you. You will have perfect access to him and to me 24/7, 365. No more waiting. Perfect connection. Again, they didn't get that yet. But eventually they did. Eventually they understood that it's better if he goes away. In the next verse, Jesus explains why. It's better because he begins to explain what the Holy Spirit is actually going to do. When he tells us, he says, when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Now, that word convict, that can be a little scary. We think about it in the criminal context of like punish. But don't think of it that way. Think of that word as convince. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will convince you. He will have the ability to change the way you think, to change the way you understand, to change the way you understand concepts, to change what you do, to change how you feel. He can convince you because he can coach you. That's what Jesus is saying. Say, hey, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to coach you in these things. And Jesus actually lays it out a little bit better next. He says, when he comes, here's what he's going to coach you in. He's going to coach you in the fact that the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. What Jesus is saying, and primarily what you got to understand, is the problem everybody has in the world, what the Holy Spirit is going to teach, is basically the problem is that people won't follow me. Just follow me, everything gets better. He's saying, I'm going to keep this real simple. Just follow me, and everything gets better. Why? Well, Jesus explains. Because righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. In other words, Jesus says, it's better to follow me because I'm the only person who can fix what you broke, and I'm the only person who can provide access to what you need. And the Holy Spirit is going to coach you in that. He's going to coach you into understanding that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except him. He's going to coach you into understanding that Jesus is the right path at all times, that he is the path to God, and that he is the path of righteousness. And he's also going to remind you that judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Ruler of this world is Satan, already been judged, already been deemed worthless. Now, he's not saying judgment as in like eternal. What he's saying is it's already been judged that Satan is a liar. It's already been judged that his way is going to fail. So what the Holy Spirit is going to do, the way he's going to coach you, he's going to coach you to me. He's going to coach you to follow me in all situations because I'm the path to righteousness. And because if you don't follow me, you're going to be following the ruler of this world and you're going to be following him into death. You're going to be following him into pain. You're going to be following him into tragedy. It's not going to work. Jesus' way is better. Satan's way is always to destruction. That, in a nutshell, is what the Holy Spirit coaches 24/7, 365, for every single aspect of your life. How the Holy Spirit is wandering and communicating to you. Can we bring every single area? Can we bring your marriage? Can we bring your finances? Can we bring your temper? Can we bring your addictions? Can we bring every single thing into the light and into the direction of Jesus and get you pointed on that way and get you pointed away from destruction? That is what he does. Well, how does he do that? Well, here's what Jesus says. There's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He says, guys, you aren't ready for it all yet. But don't worry, when the Spirit comes, and he did, it's recorded for us in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. When the Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth. And it happened. And he's still here. And so, for 4 weeks, we have been building. For 4 weeks, we have been laying a foundation of understanding who God is, how he works in the Trinity, how this communication works, how we can receive from him, how we can hear from him. For 4 weeks, I have been building to this moment that you wish I had answered week one. And I'm finally going to answer the question asked the way we should ask it. And this is the question. So how does the Holy Spirit speak? Oh, doesn't that feel good to finally get here? How does he speak? How do we hear from him? How does he coach? And I don't want you to forget what Jesus said. Not on his own. He speaks what he's heard. He speaks what he's heard from God the Father, through God the Son, through Jesus, because God the Father chose to speak through Jesus, to reveal himself to the world through Jesus. In fact, if you were here when we began this series, you know that we talked about how our ears are tuned to C and C major and how we can hear it when it doesn't work. And that's why nature makes us feel good, because our souls are actually tuned to Jesus and we can be drawn into him without even realizing it. And as I was really trying to figure out how to illustrate, you know, how the Holy Spirit speaks, it felt like we should go back to music, but I'm going to need some help because I'm not very good at it. So if you would help me welcome my boy Paul here. Paul's going to come out. Everybody welcome Paul. Paul's our keyboardist. Paul is a Wellspring OG-er. He has been with us from the movie theater. And Paul, why don't you give us a middle C? That's beautiful, man. You're so talented. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So that's what we talked about. You know that sounds normal. Give us a C major. Sounds good. Okay, we can feel that. But see, when the Holy Spirit comes in, everything he says is going to be in tune with Jesus. So everything he says is going to be in tune with middle C. But he's not limited to just that C. He's not limited to just that note. There are notes he has that he can, you know, just show him what C can do. Thank you, buddy. See, the Holy Spirit, think of him as a composer. And he has all these different notes at his disposal. Notes that are tuned to our souls and notes that will always play in the tune of Jesus. They will always be in the key of middle C. But he's not limited by middle C. He can speak to us about any and every area. He can provide peace and he can provide comfort. And he can speak to us through things we never imagined possible. But it will always, always, always be, and don't ever forget this, because remember, we're trying to learn how to recognize his voice. It will always be in tune with Jesus. So, what are these notes that the Holy Spirit uses to speak to us, to communicate to us, and to play the tune and the melody of Jesus? I'm so glad you asked, because the very first one is the Bible. Now, the Bible is not a book. And some people call it a book. It's so much more than a book. The Bible is a collection of ancient documents that we believe have divine origins. Just as God the Father has existed forever, just as God the Son has existed forever, he chose to put on skin to become a human, but we believe Jesus has existed forever. We believe the Holy Spirit has existed forever. And any and every time man has spoken on behalf of God, he has spoken through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you've ever heard the stories of the prophets in the Old Testament, we believe they were speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you've ever read any of the Old Testament, the histories of it, we believe they were written by a man named Moses, under the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe it was the Holy Spirit who spoke through him and who led Moses to write down those histories. We believe it was the Holy Spirit who spoke through the prophets and led them to write down their prophecies. We believe it was the Holy Spirit who led King David to write out his prayers to God in the book of Psalms. We believe it was the Holy Spirit who spoke through Solomon when Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs and the Song of Songs. We believe it was the Holy Spirit that recorded the history of the nation of Israel and led that group of people to preserve those documents, so that when Jesus came on the scene, we already had a perfectly preserved record of everything God had done before him. We believe that it was the Holy Spirit who spoke through Matthew and through Mark and through Luke and through John and led them to write down the biographies we have of Jesus' life. We believe it was the Holy Spirit who led Luke to write a biography of the early church. We believe it was the Holy Spirit who spoke through Paul and through Peter and through James and through Jude and through everyone who wrote the letters that we have in the rest of the New Testament, those training manuals. We believe that was the Holy Spirit guiding them and us into all truth. We believe it was the Holy Spirit that led the early church to have the discernment to understand which documents to preserve and which documents not to preserve. We believe it was the Holy Spirit that led the church to put them together into one document around 400 AD so that we could have a perfect revelation to us of what the Word of God. Does God speak? He spoke. And we have it written down. And you can now read it on your phone. The Bible is this amazing gift from God. And maybe if you've grew up in church, maybe you've heard somebody talk about this. The Bible is alive. And the reason the Bible is alive is because the Holy Spirit is alive. And the Holy Spirit speaks into the Bible and the Holy Spirit speaks through the Bible. And if you've ever in your life read the Bible and found peace, found comfort, found clarity, found conviction, been convinced by something, changed a behavior, it was because the Holy Spirit spoke to you and through you in that moment. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He speaks to us when we read the Bible. He coaches us when we read the Bible. He coaches us when we study the Bible. He coaches us when we hear the Bible taught. If there's ever been a time where you've been in this room or in any church and you've heard someone preaching or teaching from the Bible and you've ever had a moment of clarity, a moment of inspiration, a moment of aha, a moment of I now know what to do, a moment of man, you know what? That sermon felt like it was designed just for me. Well, let me go ahead and help you. The deliverer of the message did not design it with you in mind, but we also have access to the Holy Spirit. He did design it with you in mind. Because he loves you, and because he wants to coach you, and he coaches through the Bible, which is why we teach the Bible here, because that's how he coaches. And so anytime you read it, anytime you study it, anytime you go to it, and you receive something, and you feel something, that is God speaking to you through his Holy Spirit. And here's the amazing thing about the Bible. Okay, I am almost 40 years old. I've been a Christian now for over 25 years. And there are certain passages, certain books of the Bible, not all of them, but certain passages, certain books I have probably read 20 to 30 times at this point in my life. And every single time I read it, I find something fresh. I find something new. It's as if I'm like, I've never seen that verse before. Are we sure this verse was here the last time I read this? And of course it has. It's because my coach is sitting with me as I read. And I don't know about you, I needed different coaching as a teenager than I need raising a teenager. The coaching is different. The document is the same. The coaching is different. That's why the Bible is so important and so vital. And it's why we encourage you to read it on your own, because it is. It's not the only way, but it is the clearest way to hear from your Heavenly Father. It is how we fall in love with Jesus. Everything we know about Jesus, we know because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John told us. How do we tune our ears to Jesus? How do we tune our hearts to him? By studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. By studying what was written down for us. It's how we discover who he is. And it is so vitally important. But it's not the only way. He also speaks through prayer. Now, prayer is just simply a conversation we have with God. We can tell him about our struggles. We can ask him to help us when we make mistakes. We can ask for clarity. And it is a two-way conversation. Jesus provided that to us. Because he's in heaven, in front of God the Father Almighty, he gives us direct access to him. We can go to him. We can ask him questions. And the Holy Spirit is how we hear back. The Holy Spirit is what speaks to us and what directs us. And the reason prayer is so important is because prayer teaches us to recognize that still small voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks to us from time to time. You know, that little voice that says, this is a terrible idea. That little voice that says, no, really, this is a terrible idea. That little voice, seriously, if you don't stop, bad things are going to happen. We all have that voice. That's the Holy Spirit. And the power of prayer is that the more we communicate with him, the easier it is to recognize his voice, because it's just like any relationship. There has to be intimacy and there has to be familiarity for you to be able to recognize things. This illustration really doesn't work, and it'll work for about another decade and then it'll go away because we have smartphones now. But most of you in the room remember a time where, like, you had to actually answer the phone and you had no idea who was calling, right? Everybody remembers that in the room, okay? So how many of you ever had this happen? You answer the phone, hello, and you get the dreaded, hey, it's me. And you don't know who me is. You're like, new phone, who dis? You know? It doesn't work as well instead of text. But anybody ever happened to you where you answer the phone and, like, they think you're closer and you have no idea? Right? Now, it's different than when your spouse calls and you say hello and they say, hey, it's me. You better recognize that voice. And you definitely better not say the wrong name. But the reason you're able to do that is because you have a relationship. It's because you have intimacy. That's what prayer does. As we pray, it's easier anytime the Holy Spirit wants to make a phone call. Anytime the Holy Spirit wants to give us a little coaching. Anytime the Holy Spirit wants to give us a little extra clarity. We recognize his voice because we have daily conversations with him. But that's not the only way he speaks. He also speaks through praise. This is why we gather. This is why we sing songs. Because the Holy Spirit actually commands us in both the Old Testament and the New Testament to sing to God. To sing songs. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is so important that we're actually going to spend an entire week next week talking about this topic. So do not miss it. Come back. Vitally important. But for today, I'll just say praise is a key component of hearing from God and hearing from specifically from the Holy Spirit. Because when we gather, when we sing songs, we open up our souls to him to do some reparative and restorative work. Sometimes you come into this room and you just feel heavy and burdened and anxious. And by the time you're done singing, have you ever noticed that you just feel better? The reason you feel better is because praise invites the Holy Spirit in to literally change your emotions and to make you feel better. That's what he does. And again, we'll talk about that more next week because I want to get to this fourth one. Another way that the Holy Spirit speaks is through people. 100% our God is so gracious and so wonderful and so loving that he has chosen to speak to us through other people. The Holy Spirit can speak to us through people. Now, the $64,000 question is which people? Which people is he speaking through? And it's not usually the people that think he's speaking through them, if you've ever noticed that. When I was in college, we had a rash of Christian men who would tell women, God told me we should date. Never said that, by the way. Mocked them mercilessly. My favorite answers would always be, well, he ain't told me. So how do we know? How do we know? Now, here's the good thing. Here's the great thing about our Heavenly Father, though. He speaks so clearly in his word that a lot of the time, you don't even have to go to other people to ask their opinion. He's spoken in his word. It's clear. Sometimes we don't like what he said, so we try to go get a second opinion. But let me help you. Let me help you. Remember, our Holy Spirit is only going to tell us what he's heard. And he gave us the most clear example of that in God's word as he revealed us who Jesus is and all that is. And so once we've had that, one kind of a rule of thumb you can just have for life is the Holy Spirit is never, ever, 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 never, 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 ever, never, 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 ever, never, ever, never, ever, never, never, never going to speak in a way that contradicts his word, ever. So, for the vast majority of us, we have our answers. We just don't like them, and that's between you and the Holy Spirit. But it's very clarifying when it comes to other people in your life, because you have people you love in your life, you have people that are influential in your life, you have people that you admire in your life, and they are going to give advice. They're going to give encouragement. They're going to give wisdom. We need people. We talk all the time about how circles are better than rows. It's because we want you to have a place where you can go talk to other people and receive Holy Spirit-filled advice. So how do we know? How do we know? And what Paul would say and what Jesus would say and what the Holy Spirit would say is, well, how in tune are they with Jesus? Because if what they're saying reflects the truth and the values of Jesus, it's probably closer. And if what they're saying is kind of going away from Jesus, that's a not. You're like, Paul, that's a lot. Jesus, that's a lot. That's really confusing. Don't you just have a list? Can I just have a list? And Paul's like, okay, I'll make you a list. Like, really? Paul, you're going to make me a list? And Paul's like, yeah, I'll make you a list. Sure, sure. Holy Spirit and I were talking the other day. I got this church in Galatia, and they're really struggling. And I'm going to make them a list. And Holy Spirit gave it to me, so you can use it too. So in Galatians 5, Paul actually gives us a list. And it's a list not of people, it's a list of behaviors. And he essentially says, hey, if the people in your life are characterized, if their lives are characterized by these behaviors, probably don't listen to them. And it doesn't mean they're bad people, but probably don't listen to them. But if the people in your life, there's people and their lives are characterized by this, it's probably a pretty good chance they're speaking on behalf of the Holy Spirit. Would you like to see the list? Would you like to see it? Here's what he says in Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, starting in verse 19, he says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. When you follow yourself, when you aren't listening to God, when you aren't listening to Jesus, when you aren't being coached by the Holy Spirit, he says, this is what happens. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division. We're not done. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me be clear. Paul is not saying that people with those things in their lives can't become Christians, because we would all be out. That is an exhaustive list. You're like, man, you had me till page 2. Uh-oh. Woo. No. It's not what he's saying at all. What he's saying is this, when there are people in your life and their lives are characterized by these traits, when these things are flowing from them, it means they are not currently inheriting the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean they can never inherit it. It means they are not currently being coached. Or if they're being coached, they're ignoring the coaching. Okay? We've all had times, we've all had seasons where we've ignored the coaching. So this is not a license to judge people. This is not a list to look down on people. This is simply a list for clarity's sake. When you're trying to decide, is the Holy Spirit speaking through this person? God, are you trying to give me some advice? Are you trying to give me some clarity through this person? That is the only lens through which you should use this to measure other people. And then and only then, the measurement should be, they're not currently being coached right now, so I can't trust what they're saying. I'm going to take it with a grain of salt. It's probably not the Holy Spirit, but I love them. I'm going to help them. I'm not judging them. It's just saying, hey, they might not be delivering what the Holy Spirit is trying to say. Because in other areas of their life, there is not evidence that they are being actively coached by him. That's all Paul's saying. But, he says, but the Holy Spirit, when he is active, when he is coaching, when you are inviting him in your life, he produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He's saying the people in your life who want to speak into your life, when these are the traits you see flowing from them, you can assume I'm speaking through them because I'm speaking to them. I'm coaching them. I'm producing that in them. And so as long as what they're saying continues to be in tune and in line with what I've told you and what I've revealed through my son and what I've revealed through my word, it's a pretty good bet that I'm trying to give you some guidance through other people. I'm telling you, man, our God is so good. And our God is so clear. And our God desperately wants to communicate with us. And our God has explained to us exactly how it works. And our God has explained to us exactly the benefits of it. Because our God understands that the better we understand how something works, the likelier it is that we will use it. So, how does the Holy Spirit speak? Through His Word. Through prayer, through our praise, and through people. And always in tune with Jesus. When we started this series, we all sort of agreed that if there really is a God, and if He really does want to speak to us, and He really does love us, and He really does know the future, and He really does want the best for us, and we really can learn to hear from Him, that the only reasonable, rational response is to learn immediately how to recognize His voice, to learn how to apply it to our lives, and to begin to follow that with everything we have. So that's where we are. He speaks loud and clear. The question, do you recognize? Will you listen when you recognize? And can you follow? And this is a lifelong journey. This is a journey we as your church want to walk on with you, which is why we're actually going to do something really cool this summer. As a church, we are going to read the Bible together. We are going to read first through the book of Acts, and then we're going to move on. And we're going to do it so that we can all discover together what it feels like and how you experience hearing from God. And so that you and your friends are reading the same thing at the same time so you can have discussions about what you're hearing and what you're learning. And then as a church, we're going to come in each week and we're going to talk about the book of Acts. And I'm so excited about it. If you want to be a part of this, you can just go to our app. It's going to be right up at the top. You can download the app. You still got a few weeks to sign up. But I'm telling you, man, sign up to join us this summer. Sign up to read the Bible with us. Sign up to learn. Not to hear God's voice, you can hear it, but to learn to recognize it. To learn to listen when the Holy Spirit wants to coach. To learn what it feels like to apply. To learn what it feels like to grow. The question is really this. What will you do the next time you hear Him speak? What will you do the next time you recognize His voice? And our prayer is you'll be able to think back and go, oh, wait, I know how this works. I understand this better now. And now that I understand it, I'm going to do whatever it takes to use it and to follow it every single day. Because my God is speaking. My God wants better for me. And the only reasonable, rational response to an all-loving, all-powerful, all-knowing God that wants to give us guidance 24/7, 365 is to listen and follow. Let's pray. God, we love You so much. We thank You for Your Son. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for how they work together to both connect us to You and coach us in life. God, I just pray that as our eyes are opened to who You are and to how You speak, that we will just open ourselves up to recognize, that we will walk into each moment looking for You. And when we find You, we will listen. And when we listen, we will follow. Thank you for making it so clear how You speak. Thank You for making it so easy to follow. And thank You for making it so worth it. I pray now You give us clarity and courage. Clarity to hear from You. And courage to take the step You want us to take. We love You. So in Your Son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.